Chapter 1, Looking for Men Who Will Pray. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I suspect that men haven't changed much since the days of Paul. We still have to be goaded into praying as we should. Let's face it, prayer is not a Christian man's greatest strength. Not that we have all that many strengths anyway, but prayer is definitely not one of them. We know that Paul commands us to pray without ceasing, and to pray about everything. But men today, as probably in Paul's day, are so far from that ideal that they don't really take that exhortation seriously. They can't see themselves praying like this, and so they conclude Paul's probably just speaking in hyperbole here. His instruction is more a bit of pious rhetoric than a serious call to a prayerful life. But the fact is, prayer is to our spiritual lives as breathing is to our physical lives. In order to participate in physical existence, we have to breathe. Breathing is so fundamental to being that we must do it continually. We do it so continually, in fact, that most of the time we don't even think about it. When we have trouble breathing or can't catch our breath, we don't just not breathe. Rather, we redouble our efforts to breathe, because we know that not to breathe is not to exist. Breathing is not so much something we do as something we are. Men exist, so men breathe. Prayer is to our spiritual lives as breathing is to our physical lives. If you're not breathing, you're dead. If you're not praying... Paul calls us to pray without ceasing because we can no more benefit from being spiritually alive without prayer than if we tried to be physically alive without breathing. Yet Christian men just don't pray this way. So Paul has to goad us into it. I desire then that in every place the men should pray. This longing comes as the culmination of a passage fraught with hope and promise for times like ours. We have become a society where peace and quiet are an illusion. Godliness is scorned. Dignity has been traded in for crudity and mere self-indulgence. And anger and quarreling are increasingly the normal mode of communicating at home, work, and in the public square. In such a situation, our neighbors look to the old standbys to find some semblance of happiness. Possessions, privacy, and politics. Give me my stuff, leave me alone, and take care of my needs. But this is not the way to peace and quiet, dignity and godliness, or peacefulness, respect, and civility. The way to this kind of life, this kind of society, is along the path of prayer. Men praying, to be specific, as Paul has it in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. If men will pray, God will act. If men, Christian men, continue to insist on being mere men, for whom prayer is hardly the breathed air of spiritual existence, then we can forget about realizing the hope of a better society and a more God-honoring culture. The peace, well-being of our society, the renewal of our culture, the faithfulness of our marriages and the safety and security of our children and grandchildren depend not on prosperity, not on self-sufficiency, not on some screwed-up new resolve, and not on public policy. They depend on prayer, on men who will pray. Christian man, will you pray? For reflection, if the peace and well-being of our society, the condition of our culture, the faithfulness of our marriages, and the safety and security of our children and grandchildren depended on your prayers, what would be your prognosis based on the current state of your prayers as to what we should expect?